It is our interest in your prayers this afternoon as we just like to pick up this afternoon with where we left off this morning. I mentioned this morning I thought we were going to get further along. And so we're just going to pick right up where we left off, and I trust the Lord will bless us in the continuation of the burden this afternoon. We'd like to focus on the place of consideration, the preparation. When we have been called to follow the Lord, that there is a time of preparation, something the Lord wants us to do. We concluded with the sixth chapter of Isaiah. Isaiah had received a vision of God in His holiness. And when we come into the presence of God, folks, and we see God for who and what He is, it will make an indelible change in our life. When we see God for who He is, I believe it's where many of the struggles that we have in life, many of the even doctrinal struggles or practical applications of holiness, they cease when we come into the presence of a holy God and we see God for who He is. Now I understand why this isn't good for me. I see unrighteousness for what it is. I see iniquity for what it is. And there is nothing like the revelation or something that reveals unrighteousness like the presence of God. And that is the reason Jesus said, the world is going to hate you. They hated Christ because men love darkness rather than light. Why? Because their deeds are evil. And when we come in the presence of God, it has a way of exposing things. And again, young people, I'm not picking on you. It applies to all of us. But some of the things that tend to be a battle for you, some of the things that, some of the places you go and what you listen to and some of those things that you're kind of back and forth and struggling to know the balance of things. If you can bring those things into the presence of a holy God, it will take care of a lot of the questions. And it's not because we heard it preached on. Now, again, the Lord uses the foolishness of that preaching. But it's because I have come into the presence of God. And it's more than Dad said, that music is not real good for you. And it's not because my Sunday school teacher, it's not exclusively because my Sunday school teacher said, now this kind of music isn't good now. It's because I came into the presence of God and I got a vision of who God is. And I said as Isaiah, Lord, I am undone. I'm unclean. Lord, I cannot even look and stand in the presence of your holiness. And when Isaiah recognized his condition, it said one of the seraphims took a coal from off of the altar, and it brought it, and it laid it on his lips, and it purified him of his sin. And I know that there are a lot of things that that could imply and symbolize, but I want us to recognize that Isaiah felt and recognized his inadequacies. If we are going to follow Jesus, if we are going to follow the Lord as He wants, all of us are going to have to come to a place that we recognize our personal inadequacies. The Lord is not interested in how successful we can be as the world determines success. The Lord is interested in a people this afternoon who are willing to come into the presence of God and humble themselves and lay down before the altar and acknowledge that, Lord, we need you. And without Christ, we're nothing. And when we can recognize that, that is when the anointing of the Holy Ghost can rest upon us individually and collectively in a greater way. If we begin to find our identity in our history alone, if we find our identity based upon our background, in our traditions, as good as they might be, and that is what gives us our identity exclusively, we are going to begin to have a form of godliness, but not have the power of the Lord upon us. We will turn into just another denominational church. But when we recognize we are in the presence of a holy God, and I am inadequate, I don't have the ability, and the only thing that gives God the glory is when He is exalted in His way, that is when the Lord can look down and say, these are some of my people. And I have the privilege then from God in saying I can pour out my Spirit upon these people because they recognize how needy they are before me. It's not how holy you can be. It's in how much you can recognize your own insufficiencies, for therein God can work through your life. Well, one of the seraphims flew with that live coal in his hand, and he touched his lips, and God purified him. And take note, and we're not going to finish this afternoon, but remember, this is pointing forward to the time that God asks a question and says, who will go for me? But God only asked the question after He purified Isaiah. Which means there was a time of preparation. If you have a desire to follow the Lord, there is a call that God has for each and every one of us to work for God. But before we can fully fulfill that call, there is some preparation that has to be done. There is something that the Lord wants to purify in our hearts before He can use us effectively in the work of God. And there are times in life that we may see needs and we may have a personal burden for something, and the Lord wants us first, before we move out in our own strength, before we go out and say, well, I'm qualified to do this. There is no greater qualification to work for God than to recognize our inadequacies and ask God to do something divine in our life. And so the Lord, then He sent the seraphim, took the coal from off the altar. What does that signify? You remember what God told the disciples right before He left them, what He told them to do? Anybody remember what He told the disciples to do before He went away? What? Luke 24. Luke chapter 24. Let's just turn and read it. I believe it's 24. Chapter 24, verse 49. Jesus said, behold, I send the promise of my Father upon you. But tarry in the city of Jerusalem until you be endued with what? With power from on high. And that power came from who? It came from God. It came through the form of the Holy Spirit, didn't it? On the day of Pentecost, and let's back it up by the word now, in Acts chapter 1 and verse 8, He said, you shall receive power after the Holy Ghost has come upon you, and you shall be witnesses unto me both in Jerusalem and in all Judea and in Samaria and to the uttermost part of the earth. Want us to recognize before God sent Isaiah out and before He said, who will even go for me? He gave Isaiah a vision of a holy God wherein Isaiah would recognize his inadequacies. And when Isaiah recognized that I am a man of unclean lips, that coal, that burning hot coal touched him and he was purified. Jesus did not, after when Jesus was on earth, He sent the disciples out. But when He was going to be gone, He said, you are not, in essence, you are not equipped to go face an ungodly world. You are not equipped to go out and testify of me by yourself. He said, I want you to wait. I want you to tarry before the throne of God and get a vision of who God is. Recognize your neediness. And on the day of Pentecost, He sent the Holy Spirit. And the Holy Spirit is a sanctifier. It's not the only sanctifier. The Word is a sanctifier. The truth is a sanctifier. The blood is a sanctifier. But the Holy Spirit is a sanctifier. And He said, don't go out into the world until you have been endued with power. That was the coal that before I didn't have power. I didn't have the leadership. I only had my own thinking. I had my own ways. I had my own perspective. But I have been touched. A time of preparation before answering the call to go into all the world and preach the gospel. There's a time of preparation. There's a time of preparing oneself. And part of that preparation is coming before the throne of God, really getting a vision of who God is. Because when you go out into the world, your faith is going to be tested. You're going to be put on the hot spot, so to speak. And we've got to have something wherewith to stand on. We're going to be challenged. There are going to be things that will shake you to your core. And you need a power greater than yourself to be able to withstand when you don't have all the answers to the question, that you too can say, I know in whom I have believed. I have seen God. I don't understand this. And maybe I don't have all the answers to why God has done what He's done or said what He did. But I know this. I have seen a holy God. And He has given me the power of His Spirit to enable me to live according to the Word of God. The full plan of salvation, saints, was not just to be forgiven of our sins. The full plan was to be forgiven and cleaned up and very quickly thereafter be filled with the power of the Holy Spirit. Let's not put too much distance between those. You want to answer the call to follow Jesus? Repent and be saved and be baptized and be filled with the Holy Spirit. Don't delay. Don't wait. He said, but tarry. Don't go out until you've received power. Don't go out until you have the Holy Spirit. And so then that is what happened when that coal touched Isaiah. It purified something in him. And that is what the Holy Spirit does for us today. We need this kind of power if we're going to answer the call of God. This is the preparation. The Scripture talks about those that have zeal without knowledge. Think about those that get newly saved and the excitement that they have and the desire to work for God. Folks, there is a need this afternoon for people to have some preparation doing exactly what He says here. Tarry before the throne until you have been touched by the fire of the Holy Spirit. And I prophesy to you according to the Scripture that if you go out and face a wicked world, the generation that we live in, without the Holy Spirit, before too long, you are going to fall right back into the sinfulness of which God delivered you out of. So we need to prepare ourselves to follow the Lord. And part of that is recognizing our neediness and then receiving that gift from off of the altar, that thing that will purify us. And this is the reason, you can turn and read if you would, but 2 Corinthians in the 3rd chapter, Paul was speaking in verse 5. He said, not that we are sufficient of ourselves to think anything of ourselves, but our sufficiency is of God, who hath made us able ministers of the New Testament, not of the letter, but of the Spirit. For the letter killeth, but the Spirit giveth life. In other words, Paul was recognizing, just like Isaiah, that I'm insufficient. And so he said, our sufficiency is not of ourselves. Folks, there is nothing that will disqualify us quicker to ministering the Word of God than to start thinking we are sufficient in and of ourselves. Young people, God has blessed you all with a lot of talents. There's a lot of talented people in this group here this afternoon. The Lord has blessed you with a lot, and He wants to use what you have for the furtherance of the kingdom of God. But understand that God can only use what He has given you if you will humble yourself and give it back to Him and recognize there is no sufficiency in and of myself. That is when the presence of God can come in and give life and vitality to the gifts that He wants to give to you. Our sufficiency is not of ourselves. And then he said, the letter killeth. In other words, it means more than just having a head knowledge of the doctrine, folks. It's more than just being able to say, number one, thou shalt do this, and the church teaches against that, and don't do this. It is about mine eyes have seen the glory of the Lord. It is about I have seen God high and lifted up. He's a holy God. Do you know how that starts changing our daily living when we have a vision of a holy God? I want to live around that throne. I want to live in that place that I am in the presence of a holy God. And I'm listening to this that, oh Lord, help me now. I'm in the presence of a holy God. I want the power of the Lord to enable me to overcome and have a life of victory. Where will I get it? By allowing the Spirit of God to work. The letter killeth. You know, we can use the letter by itself, the word by itself, and it can wreak havoc in people's lives. It can cause a lot of destruction. But he said it's the Spirit that gives life. The Scripture also talks about, I believe, in Timothy, when he talked about in the last days perilous times would come. One of the things he said, having a form of godliness but denying the power. And then he said, ever learning and never coming to the knowledge of the truth. In other words, we can have a head knowledge. We can know, yes, we can know our Bible forward and backwards. We can know what it says. But folks, it's not enough. We need the Spirit of God. This is the preparation. Tarry ye in Jerusalem until ye be endued with power from on high. The presence of God, folks, it's a Spirit that gives life. If serving the Lord is becoming dull to you, and following the Lord is drudgery, and it is a burden, and it is a yoke, and it's hard, there's some more preparation. There's something better than that. And if anybody tells you, well, people just don't have any life, and speak for yourself. Why? Don't put that on me this afternoon. Don't put that on everybody else. If you have a hypocritical experience, acknowledge you're a hypocrite, but don't call all of us hypocrites. If life is dull and worshiping and serving the Lord is just, you say, it's all just tradition and you don't really have anything and it's just a dead people. If your experience is dead, it doesn't have to stay dead when you come into the presence of God. It's the Spirit of the Lord that gives life to this. It's the Spirit of the Lord that actually makes it, if you will allow me to use the fleshly expression, it's what makes serving God exciting. It's because it makes it alive. That comes alive by the Spirit of the Lord. So don't go out in your own strength. Acknowledge that you're sufficiency of God. And this is the other reason Paul, when he was preaching in 1 Corinthians, in his letter that he wrote, chapter 2, verse 2, he said, I determine not to know anything among you save Jesus Christ and Him crucified. In other words, the one that we're following. I determine not to know anything but the one that we're following. And he went on to talk about his own preaching. He said, I was with you in weakness and in fear and in much trembling, and my speech and my preaching was not with what? Remember? With enticing words of men's wisdom, but in demonstration of the Spirit and of power, that your faith should not stand in the wisdom of men, but in the power of God. Folks, this is the importance of the Spirit. I recognize my neediness, and the Lord comes and purifies my mouth, that I can give Him glory in all things. And now we're not about fleshly worship. We're not about worshiping the Lord just in, this is the way it's always been done. But no, we are in the presence of the King. And we're not here to titillate the mind with intellectual pursuits that don't bring us into a closer relationship with God. We are interested in preaching and in teaching, not of men's wisdom, but something that will draw us by the anointing and power of the Holy Ghost into a closer relationship with God, that we, by our lives, might be able to show other people the holiness of God Himself. So who are we representing this afternoon? Paul said, that we are ambassadors of who? Of Christ. So do you know who you're following this afternoon? Do you know before you send someone out to represent you, if you have a business and before you just send them out to represent you, you want them to get some training, don't you? I mean, you're representing the company. I wonder how many of us here are really representing this holy God. Have we taken the time that we should in preparing ourselves that we can go out into a world that we can adequately represent who Christ is because we have been filled with the power of His Spirit? It is one of the greatest needs of the Church of God today is for people to be baptized and filled with the anointing and power of the Holy Spirit. And that's why there are so many corpses sitting in the pews. And that is not an indictment on anyone here, but folks, it's the generation in which we live. People are living outside of the glory and holiness of the throne of God. And so they're pursuing their own ways, and the Lord wants to bring us back in. If we've been out, He wants to bring us back in that we can sit around and worship at the throne of God, recognizing first, I don't have it in my own strength. Lord, would You purify me? Would You give me power? Would You sanctify me? And the Lord is willing to do that for each and every one of us. Let her kill it, but the Spirit giveth life. And this is the reason, in closing, over in Philippians that Paul spoke. And I know we read this the other day, but it dovetails with the burden this afternoon. Philippians chapter 3 and verse 7. He said, what things were gained to me I counted loss for Christ. Yea, doubtless I count all things but loss for the excellency of the knowledge of Christ, Jesus my Lord. I count everything but loss because I'm gaining knowledge of the Lord, for whom I suffer the loss of all things and do count them but dung that I may win Christ and be found of Him not having my own righteousness. See, it's not about our abilities this afternoon. It's not about our education. It's not about our IQ. It's not about our family name. It's not about our common history. It's not about these four walls. He said, I didn't want to be found having my own righteousness of the law, but that which is through the faith of Christ. The one that said, follow me. Follow me. And He said that for this reason, that I may know Him and the power of His resurrection and the fellowship of His suffering. I want to know Him this afternoon. I want to know Him better. I don't want to go out half-cocked in my own strength, in my own ability. Because you'll get discouraged and you'll give up. I've seen it happen to ministers that have gone out because they had a great idea. They had something they thought, I'm going to go work for God. And they went out and I saw very quickly them wither away. And I wonder what happened. What happened? I think the answer is found in the scriptures we read today. They needed to have come into the presence of God and recognized that, Lord, it's not my ability. I need something from You. Folks, the Spirit came to give us life. But let's give Him time to prepare us. Let's give Him time to prepare us that when the Lord, and He will, we're going to get to that later, but remember, He was setting this up to ask a question, and that was, who will go for me? That we are in a place of preparedness because we have been touched by the presence of God in our life. Lord bless you all.